Hey there, everybody. This is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. Beautiful, sunny Clearwater, Florida. Today, this first Sunday of January of 2014. And if you're listening live, we're glad you've joined us. If you're listening later at a later time on our website, then we just are so grateful that you are tuning in and listening to the Word of God. It's going to be a great day. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, and I am excited about being here on the air with you today. This is going to be a powerful, powerful show. God has got some things He wants to get done today as we start this new year. Happy New Year to every single one of you. And it's a joy to be able to share the Word with you today. Megan, are you on the air with me?
I'm here, Pastor. Hi, how are you?
I'm great. Is your mama on yet? Yes, Betty?
I am here.
All right.
I'm here.
You two are calling in from different locations. They're in beautiful, sunny, warm Indiana, right?
There's that sarcasm.
Sarcasm, yes. Yes, there it is again, right? It's creeping out.
Again.
I don't know why that does that, because what's your temperature right there right now, girls?
Well, In Connersville, we're running 35 degrees, but we were just a little bit to the north of us. It's just hammering the state with snow, but we're actually getting rain and freezing rain.
Oh, that's nice. But 35 degrees is like a heat wave to y'all right now, isn't it?
Yeah, considering the meteorologists are calling for later on this afternoon and tomorrow.
Ooh, fun. Yes. What about you, Megan? You're a few miles away from your mama.
Yeah, I think it's about 33 here. We're almost right on the line of the rain and the snow. So,
yeah.
You know, it's funny that the meteorologist had everybody so scared that we were going to have so many inches of snow, and here we are getting rain. So,
wow.
I'm predicting and praising God that they're going to be wrong about those temperatures. So.
Yeah, because they're supposed to go down tomorrow for you all, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, to us. I think, Cedric, it's what's supposed to go down to 50 or something?
Let me check.
I mean, really cold here. It's going to, because right now it's 70 something. I don't know, but it's warm and beautiful. But you know what? It does not matter what the temperature is. It matters what's going on the inside of you, right?
Amen.
Amen. And that's mother and daughter saying that in unison. That was cute. So what is God doing? Is He blessing you every day, Betty?
Oh, every day. You know, sometimes I think I overlook. I'm so busy and so preoccupied with things of this world that, you know, intersect into my life.
Right.
And I sometimes miss it. But, you know, in these last few weeks, we've had, you know, an occasion that has kind of started to change our life. And it's actually made us draw closer to God. And He's drawn closer to us, which has brought us a lot of peace and peace of mind, peace in our spirits, and it's amazing what God is doing.
Well, and it is. And during those difficult times in our lives, we've got to change our mindsets, I think, in this new year to accept the challenges, I'm going to call them that, instead of bad things, accept the challenges as a way to get stronger and closer to God. And with that said, I know that's what's going on with you, Megan, and with your husband, Ben, as you await the birth of this new little baby boy, because you've had some difficult news, and we will talk about that in a few minutes. But don't you think, Megan, that this experience has drawn you closer to God?
In ways that I can't even vocalize to you and to who's listening. We are in the midst of a storm here with our family, and I knew at the point that I knew before it was coming, I was warned in many different ways by the Lord that He was preparing me for something. And I know, and I've known my whole life, that the only person that can get me through a storm is my Savior.
Amen.
And that's where I'm drawing all of my strength from right now.
Amen. And so this will make you stronger. It will make you more determined to believe God and what His Word says. And so we will talk about what you're going through here in a little while. Had a call just a couple minutes ago from Carol and Maxine up in Georgia. Their next door neighbor, Jessica and Justin, are awaiting the birth of their first little child, which is a little boy. He's and Jessica's 24 weeks along. And they discovered that there's no amniotic fluid, and she is in the hospital and will have to stay there until the birth of this child. And the grandparents were over with Carol and with Maxine, and they were praying together. And this is not too big for God. It seems to remind me of a story that happened to us last year, right?
Amen.
With my granddaughter, Rylan, and her babies, which are my great-granddaughters now. It's just at the same time. It was right about 23 weeks when Rylan, they thought she was losing her babies. And you all agreed in prayer with me and with my family. And we believed God for a miracle. And we got our miracles. She did not deliver those babies that day. And yes, she was on a lot of bed rest before she finally delivered them at 35 weeks. But they were delivered healthy and whole and normal. And there, you have held my baby granddaughters, haven't you both? You have been there. Yeah. You have firsthand experience with Aaliyah and Briley, don't you?
Yes.
When I was up in Indiana just recently. And you can tell the listening audience that we did get our miracle, did we not?
Yes, we did.
So we're going to ask our listening audience today to pray for two separate families. One, Megan, is you and Ben, which we'll get to that story in a little while. And the other one is Jessica and Justin in Georgia, who are asking for prayer that Jessica will be able to carry this little boy until it's time to deliver him, and that he will be delivered healthy and well and normal. Mm-hmm. And that is our prayer right now for that young couple. And Megan, you can certainly relate to this, can't you?
Oh, totally. And it's not a coincidence that her and I are at the same point in our pregnancy.
Right.
So we're both 24 weeks. So I'll be going to battle for them.
Amen.
For their little boy.
And I'll have Carol send you the information. Maybe you can reach out to Jessica personally in the hospital there.
I would love to.
So Jessica and Justin, be reassured that we are praying for you. Our church and our huge prayer team is praying. All of you out there, there's going to be things happen this year where you need somebody praying for you. And that's what we do at Beacon of Hope. And we have a wonderful prayer ministry. You can get in touch with that prayer ministry. It's all online. prayers@bohmglobal.com. That stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries, but we just shortened it because it's a lot easier. prayers@bohmglobal.com. And Carol up in Georgia and Pastor Jim, my associate, are the ones that write those prayers. And it's an amazing blessing in this ministry to have that prayer line. And we'll talk more about it in a minute. Let's get started with a song by the group New World Sun, Sweet Holy Spirit.
Is weighing me down. It's choking my heart. I'm chained up and bound. Well, if pride is my prison, then grace be my key. Sweet Holy Spirit,
rescue me. Oh, Spirit, Spirit, I surrender. Spirit, Spirit, I submit to you now. I surrender. Spirit, sweet Holy Spirit,
exactly the place where God wants us. Holy Spirit, I surrender to you in this new year. Let's begin with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you just guide our conversation, guide our thoughts, guide everything that we do here in this next few minutes in this show today. Let your word go forth over these airwaves in might, in power, reminding us that we need to surrender to you, submit to you, in a new way in this new year, that we need to put you first in our lives and our and learning about you and developing our relationship with you, that we need that to be of utmost importance. So, Holy Spirit, do a work in us this day through this show in Jesus' name. Amen. Interesting song. Hey there, Betty. Pretty interesting, isn't it? All right, let's go to Matthew 5. And, well, actually, let's start with 4, where Jesus is walking along the lake, and he sees some characters that he thinks he can use for the kingdom of God. Betty, you're one of those characters. You really are a character, aren't you? In your own way.
Right, yeah. I'm a spirit-filled character.
There you go, yes.
In the kingdom of God. But you know what? The Lord gives us a spirit of happiness.
Yes.
because, you know, we have so much heaviness going on in the world today. And there's so many things that, you know, you hear people under such oppression, and just like with Jessica and Justin, having these things come up, you know, these trials that we're facing, and that's when in the storm is that we have the greatest person you could ever have beside you is the Lord Jesus Christ through the power of his Holy Spirit.
Woo.
And it's that's when we have to draw closer to him and just be prepared to be lifted up and receive a blessing today from what we say, what the Holy Spirit wants to say through us, and there, you know, expect a miracle within the next few weeks and few months to happen. It's
amen.
Because he's on the move.
And it is miracle season. It really is. We know that God wants to do some things. And I look at Matthew 4 here at the end where Jesus is walking by the lake and sees Peter and sees Andrew. And then a few feet down the lake, he sees James and John. And all four of these, the first four disciples, drop what they're doing and they go and they follow Jesus and they sell out to him. Even though they have no clue what that year will bring or the next year, the third year when Jesus goes to the cross, they have no idea how their lives are going to change. But it's like in that first song, Spirit, I surrender, I submit to you. And this is what God is calling his people to do in this new year. Megan, talk to me about this. God is not asking us to just give a little of ourselves. He's asking us to surrender, to give it all, to become everything he wants us to be. Go ahead.
Yes, he is, Pastor. And I'll tell you what, it doesn't take a special person to do the work of God.
Right.
Because I am no one special. I have nothing here on earth that, I don't have this doctorate or anything. I am no one special. But everyone has a purpose on this earth for God.
Amen.
He wants you within his arms so that he can direct you to what you're supposed to be doing for the kingdom of God.
Woo! And absolutely.
Pastor, I was given, I've never had this before. I've been hearing from the Lord, and I've written a couple of things, and I know he wants people to hear this.
Go ahead.
And it says, this is from God. I cherish my time with you. It's a new year of miracles, a year where all need to draw closer to me. They need to stop being selfish with their time. They want things from me, but they don't want to give me their time and their attention.
Amen.
A new year, I choose you for what you go through. You're drawing closer to me during this time because I know you can do this. You're not on your own. Come home to my arms. I will comfort you. Don't let anyone or anything pull you away from me.
Oh, my.
And I know
that's huge. That's wonderful, Megan. Wow.
It is. And I know, Pastor, without a doubt in my heart, he wants you to give up your time to him.
Yes.
Every single day.
He wants
not
that.
Not just a
yes.
few minutes here or there, or even just on Sunday. Every single day when you open your eyes the first thing in the morning, you need to have God on your mind.
Well, it really goes along with what Jesus was teaching here in Matthew 4 and 5. After he called these guys, Simon, Peter, and Andrew, and then James and John, they left the stuff behind. James and John left a boat and their father, you know? I mean, for heaven's sake. Simon and Andrew also left a boat. And really, Jesus is calling us in this new year to do some radical change in our lives, not to just sit back and be content with the way we've always been. Betty, talk to me about this. You and I are a tad bit older than Megan, and I tell you what, I know that even as old as I am, God is saying to me, don't be afraid of change.
Well, and I think you have to always have to bring up age, don't you?
I don't know. I don't know why, because I guess it's because you're so old. I don't know. That's
I see it. I'm old as dirt.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, the thing that we have to remember is that you can teach an old dog new tricks.
Yes, you can.
And the thing that, you know, when I was reading the scriptures that, you know, Peter and Andrew, the fishermen, you know why they left him? Why they left their boats and their fishing gear and the that occupation behind is because they loved Jesus.
Amen.
And they followed him because they wanted to.
Woo.
Because the whole, you know, it's just like the Holy Spirit draws us in and he draws us closer to him. And that's why that those disciples wanted to follow him is because they felt this urgency to follow him.
Amen.
They knew that they were fishermen, but he wanted them to be fisher of men.
Well, he even says here, I love this in the Message Bible, it says, I'll show you how to catch men and women instead of perch and bass. They didn't ask questions, but simply dropped their nets and followed. And we are a people in this day and age where we didn't have to ask every question. We want to know, well, how's that going to turn out? Well, what's in that for me? You know, what's in it for me? Or, you know, what am I going to gain from this? And I'll tell you, Megan, in this new year, it is surrender, surrender to me, to my will for your life, my voice, my word, surrender. And don't be worrying about what you're going to get out of it. You're going to get everything out of it when you surrender, you know?
That's right. Totally right. And, you know, along with surrender comes obedience.
Oh, amen.
And, you know, and trust. And I was led to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. It says, trust God from the bottom of your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Don't try to figure out everything on your own.
Woo!
So those disciples knew. They saw in Jesus that he was the leader. And they knew that they couldn't do it on their own.
Right.
That they were to follow him.
Absolutely.
And that's what we're going to have to come to a point in our lives, Pastor, is that we need to realize that when we get to that point, and don't let yourself get so far that you feel that there's nowhere else to turn, that you can't even turn to God, because you can turn to God at any time.
Amen.
No matter whether you're going through a storm or not, he is always right there and waiting.
Oh, praise God. And, you know, and because of that knowledge that he's right there, I think it eases the circumstances in our lives, because he really is able to handle everything we're going through. It's us that have a hard time turning it all over to him, right, Betty? I mean, really, seriously, we keep trying to fix ourselves and everybody around us.
Well, that's exactly what's been happening to me as a testimony.
Okay.
Is that, you know, you have change come into your life at all stages.
Right.
There's a new chapter going on in up here in my life, and I resisted for a long, long, long time. It's just like, you know, hey, I can do this on my own. I can find my own place to live. I can, you know, I can find my own job. I can do that, you know, but you hear that word, I?
Right.
I had to quit that. I had to totally submit myself to God and his word and trust him to know that he has so much better for me, that even though he, you know, if he said no to me, I had to learn to say, okay, I understand. I'll step back and wait. But then there was always something better that came about.
It is. Isn't that?
He told me no.
He's
teaching us every day.
We think that when we submit to God that the answer, the solution is going to be worse than if we tried to fix it, which is just not the way it is at all. Megan, talk to me about what your mom just said. That's just so right on.
Well, you know, there's the old saying, there's no I in team. And
that's God, good.
God didn't put you here on earth to go about your daily life by yourself.
Right.
Yes, you have friends on earth. Yes, you have family. But your Almighty Father, your Abba Father, created you, and he wants to guide you where you're supposed to go.
Amen.
He doesn't want you to have me syndrome.
Right.
He wants you to rely on him and let him guide you where you're supposed to go. And I'll tell you what, sometimes, this is going to be bold, sometimes you got to sit back and you got to shut up.
Amen.
Because when you're too busy, I can say this about myself, I'm not saying this to someone else, sometimes you got to shut up so that you can hear God.
Oh,
and what
amen.
I'm talking about is shutting off your mind,
uh-huh.
shutting off the doubt, and shutting Satan down so
yes.
that you can hear God.
Amen.
And when you do that, you will, I guarantee you will hear from him, because I am hearing from him like I've never heard before, and it is mind-blowing.
Well, and basically what I hear you saying, Megan, is shut up and listen, right?
Yes.
Because the more we quit talking and arguing and saying, but God, and we bellyache and we have pity parties where nobody wants to come to the party but us, you know, and we feel sorry for ourselves because this is happening, and we become just big old crybabies sometimes. Nothing wrong with crying. I'm not saying it that way. But when we become so self-centered and worried and fearful, that's really what the root of all that is. We cannot hear God clearly. Talk to me, Betty.
I think that Megan was talking to me about shutting up.
She was?
Because, yes.
My. Is that correct, daughter? Were you talking to your mother about?
No, I would never tell my mother to shut up.
Right answer there. Good.
But
go ahead.
No, it's because being human, as I am, and that I think that I can do it better.
Right.
That I have control over my life. Well, I don't know. 2 or 3 days ago, haven't had them in a while, but I decided I wanted to have a pity party, and I invited myself.
Yeah.
But there were other people who were listening to God, who had listened to that small, still voice. Is like, hey, there's a warrior down, and she needs some help. And because someone listened to that small, still voice, they were able to minister to me through song, through just words of encouragement that, you know, it's like, okay, all right, I'm sorry. I know what I did. I, again, submitted everything that I have to you, God. I promise I won't take it back. But he lifted me up, and it was because someone was still and quiet and heard what he had to say.
Praise God. We are called to do that for each other. In fact, that takes me to Matthew 5, verse 13, and here's what Jesus said about all this. Let me tell you why you are here. I love that sentence in the Message Bible, because don't people struggle all their lives? Why am I here, God? Why am I in this mess? Or why am I here on this planet at such a time as this? You know, why was I born now? Why was I born into my family? You know, I think a lot of us ask those kinds of questions, right? And why am I here? And I love what Jesus says there in Matthew 5:13. Let me tell you why you're here. I love that. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. I love that. You too have been at my house, and I believe we have cooked tilapia on the grill, have we not? And
yeah.
I believe we did. And I have that special seasoning that I love from, it's called Everglades seasoning, and I love it. And if you put too much on it, it can be horrible. But if you put just the right amount, it just brings out the taste of that tilapia when you grill it. We are to be that salt, that seasoning in this world. Talk to me, Megan. Tell me how this relates to us.
Well, as a born-again believer, being the salt of the earth means that through our lives, who we meet and who we encounter, that we add, quote-unquote, flavoring to our life.
Because amen.
They see Jesus through our eyes, and they see Jesus through our actions.
Amen.
And we know that when we're full of the salt, we can, these no puns intended, but salt can melt coldness. So if you're full of the Holy Spirit, you walk into a situation where there's anger, bitterness, you know, whatever, you can minister to that situation. You can pray over that situation and melt all of that away.
Ooh, I like that.
How you minister to people. And we also know, Pastor, that salt heals people.
Yes.
So that we know even that when we take the Lord into our heart, that we are healed from the inside out. Our spirits are healed and rejuvenated
I like that.
With that salt.
Every time I get a sore throat, Carol up in Georgia says to me, have you gargled with warm salt water?
Yeah.
And I think, oops, I forgot. Or I say, yeah, I have, because I know to do it. And my throat feels so much better when I do that. Megan, thank you for that metaphor. That brings salt just right in front of our faces with the healing power that we can be for someone else. And that's really good. And back to the icy roads, Betty, in your icy, yucky, snowy roads up there, what do they put on them when you guys are so full of ice up there?
Salt.
Because it does. Salt. It melts ice.
Well, and there's something else, if I may add to that.
You may.
Is we have horses.
Yes, you have horses. You have a ranch, and I love your horses. They're gorgeous.
They're miserable right now, but in the essence of salt, we give horses salt to give them to make them drink water that makes them thirst. And so if we thirst after righteousness,
yes.
We thirst for the living water.
Yes.
And it's such a, if you add salt to anything, just a tad of salt, just a little bit of salt, it makes things more flavorful. Salt helps to break down antimicrobial things that there's impurities.
Right.
So we know what that salt can do.
Mm.
It's healing.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you thirst.
Mm-hmm.
And it brings out the best in us.
Yes.
And that salt, we are the salt that, and
boy,
Jesus
that's
is
good.
The salt that we need.
You know, I mentioned this morning in my sermon that my grandmother made the world's worst mashed potatoes of any that I've ever had. And it was because years before that I was even born, she was told not to eat salt because of high blood pressure and whatever. This is way long ago. But, you know, even though the rest of her family could have eaten it, she always made mashed potatoes without salt. And it was like, oh, man, these are horrible unless you just doctor them up, right? But when you start putting the salt on them, then the substance was there, but the salt brought that flavor out, you know?
Mm.
And that's what I hear you two saying. Jesus, I love the fact that he gives us word pictures all the way through the Gospels. And we're in Matthew studying. And those of you that want to study along with us, we are in this next couple of weeks, we're going to be in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. So spend some time there and devour those chapters. But why does Jesus use this kind of a picture? Megan, back to you about the salt. Talk to me. I love that healing aspect you just mentioned.
Well, he uses things like that so that we can understand what he's trying to say.
Amen.
You know, it's not like the Bible is coded in a foreign language. It's not. I mean, even, you know, he said this how many thousands of years ago,
right.
But it still applies to us today.
Amen.
That we know our bodies, yes, are made of 90% water, but we also have to have salt.
We do.
And so do our spirits. And that, you know, the salt can be the living word of God that feeds our spirits so that we can go out in everything that we do and let the light shine through us out into the world, no matter what we're doing, whether we're just at the grocery store, driving down the road, and you might have your radio on, blasting a praise song, and you're just going crazy in the car, and people look at you, and you're just like, hey, good morning. You know, it doesn't matter. We have to be a light for the kingdom of God so that, you know, that people realize and that we can show people that no matter what your circumstances you're going through, that there is someone that can turn it around.
Woo, amen. We were doing the worship song at the end of worship this morning in the presence of Jehovah. And it has a line there, troubles vanish. Troubles vanish. Hearts are mended in the presence of the Lord. And I think that as he says to us, you become salt. And with this healing aspect that you're talking about, Megan, don't you and Ben appreciate having people in your lives that are speaking words of comfort, words that are like salt to the wounds that you are experiencing right now or have been experiencing? And knowing that God's word, like you said, is that salt that brings that out in our lives. Talk to me about that, Megan, and then we'll go to your mom.
Yeah, you know, I am blessed beyond measure to have people in my life and to have those people be full of the Holy Spirit because, you know, I am human and there have been times when I have been down and they have, you know, said one little thing maybe that just sparked my spirit that said, hey, stop, you know, like mom said, stop the pity party.
Right.
And circle back to where you know where you belong, and that's in the arms of Jesus. Woo. So, you know, there's so many people in this world that I'll call them naysayers that exist that they believe in God, but yet they don't want to have full out faith in his miracle working
exactly.
power.
Exactly. Yes. It's and kind of a yes.
Yes. And I've been faced with them my whole life, but right now in this storm that I'm in, I've never seen so many in my life. And it's just an attempt from Satan to get a hold of me. And he will do it to anybody else. He will do whatever he can. He will use whoever he can to try to get in and nest within you. And that's why it's important that you have someone on this earth that can minister to you in a time of need when you feel like that you can't even rely on God.
Well,
and you know you can.
Absolutely. It's that these people in our lives that are salt and light.
Amen.
And when they're salt, then their words bring healing. You know, Jesus talked a lot about words, and he said, words kill, words bring life. You choose. And, you know, I love that because and we're going to talk more about that in just a couple minutes. But, Betty, you want to comment on that and piggyback on this before we go to the next song in a few minutes?
Oh, yes. And I think, you know, salt's also used as a preservative.
Preservative. There you go.
And
okay.
His word preserves us.
Yes.
It gives us the substance to keep on going.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Woo, preservative. That's exactly right. So thy words were found, and I did eat them. This is Jeremiah chapter 15. I love this verse. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and they became to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. So the word of God, the encouragement that comes through people in your life that can be salt for you, those that can bring out the God flavors. I love the way the Message Bible says this. Those that can enhance your own faith. Like Megan, you just said, there are days you feel like your faith is low or you're struggling a minute, and then some godly person says the right thing. They become salt to you, right?
Amen. They do. And it like I said, it can be the smallest of a comment. Or it can just be within a hug. It can be compassion. It's just that one piece of salt that you see in that person that can change your circumstances.
Woo.
That day.
Amen. Amen. And how God uses people in our lives, sometimes total strangers. You know, sometimes just an act. I mentioned this morning. I got to bring this up. Thursday, I had a home inspection. I'm a realtor also, and I had a home inspection. It was pouring down rain. And I was in and out of that house, and I was wet and cold. And I stopped at the first Publix I could see in St. Pete to get a couple things for dinner. And I was headed home to get out of my wet clothes. And I got behind a lady in line who wanted to argue with everybody about coupons. And it started out, she was a little upset, but then she relaxed, and then she just had to wait on this one and that one and that one and that one. And she wanted this, to, you know, all these things. Dates were wrong on coupons, and it just went on and on. And I'm standing there, and all I wanted to do was pay for four or five things, you know what I'm saying? And it became kind of comical to me because all of a sudden she turned around and looked at me and gave me a big smile, and she said, I need to apologize to you. I'm sorry that I've inconvenienced you. And I said, it's okay. That's fine. And I instantly knew that I was to react the way God would react, the way Jesus would react in that situation, instead of saying, yeah, this is ridiculous, lady. You know, buy your stuff and get out of here. You know what I'm saying? We get those opportunities where we can be salt or we can be a cranky little mess. That's all I want to say about that. What do you think about that, Megan?
You're exactly right, because you can choose to react two different ways in a situation. You can either be a Christian, or you can have dirt come out of your mouth.
Exactly.
And all of our words that come out of our mouth as a Christian should be uplifting and forgiveness.
Amen.
They should not be condemning and nasty.
Well, and we prove whether or not we're salt by what comes out of our mouths. So I'm going to take us to Proverbs 18:21. The reason I remember that those numbers is 18 is your legal age or whatever. 21 is kind of adulthood, whatever. So that's kind of how I've hung that verse reference in my head. Proverbs 18:21. And really, we will mature if we take heed to this one verse. And it says this: words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. Isn't that great?
Yes.
So we choose whether or not we're going to be salt. And we choose whether or not we're going to be light. And Megan, you and Ben found out a few weeks back that your unborn son, Grayson, had been experiencing a physical problem as you carry him in the womb. And do you want to say what that is so that we can get our listening audience to agree with us in prayer on this?
Sure. He was, doctors are trying to diagnose him with a congenital diaphragmatic hernia, which is a hole in the diaphragm, which is the dividing line between your abdominal organs and your heart and your lungs. And they're trying to diagnose that what they possibly, and I put quotations in the air, what they possibly see are things within the chest cavity that are not supposed to be there.
Some of the organs have moved because of the diaphragm,
correct,
the hernia in the diaphragm, or at least that's what they thought at that time.
Exactly.
Every
yes.
test so far that's been run has been okay and good. And yet this Wednesday, you and Ben and your Ben's parents and your mom, Betty, are going to Cincinnati to All Children's Hospital for a full day of testing, correct?
Yes, ma'am. They're going to do a fetal MRI and an echocardiogram on his heart, because the doctors think that his heart is shifting to the right because of the pressure of the organs within the chest cavity. And then they're going to do another ultrasound to make sure that my body is carrying the baby at 100%.
Okay.
And so then we will consult with doctors on what they found.
Okay. So in a situation like this, that is so tough and so intense, all of those around you, Megan, need to be reaching out with the love of Jesus and words that bring life, words
Amen.
That are words of faith, words that sustain you. And that's what we're talking about when Jesus says, be salt, okay? Be light. And we're going to talk about light after this next song. But we should be loving people in our lives and reaching out to them. Love them like Jesus. That's what we should be doing. Let's do that song right now. Love them like Jesus. And, oh, listen to these words. Wow.
The love of her life is drifting away. They're losing the fight for another day. The life that she's known is falling apart. A fatherless home, a child's broken heart. You're holding her hand, you're straining for words, you're trying to make sense of it all. She's desperate for hope, darkness clouding her view. She's looking to you. Just love her like Jesus, carry her to him. His yoke is easy, his burden is light. You don't need the answers to all of life's questions. Just know that he loves her, stay by her side, love her like Jesus.
Love them like Jesus. And what did Jesus do? In Matthew chapter 4, down about verse 24, it says this. As Jesus walked this earth, God's kingdom was his theme. The beginning right now, we were under God's government, a good government. And he also healed people of their diseases and of the bad effects of their bad lives. Word got around the entire Roman province of Syria. People brought anybody with an ailment, whether mental, emotional, or physical. Jesus healed them one and all. In the name of Jesus, we declare healing for little Grayson's body. We declare that that diaphragm heals up and closes up if it has not already, that it does, because words give life and words kill. And we speak life to Grayson Kramer right now in the name of Jesus, that before those tests are done on Wednesday, his little diaphragm is perfectly correct the way it should be. We declare that, Megan, over you, over your unborn son, over your body right now in the name of Jesus. Jesus healed them all.
Amen.
Betty?
Yeah. One of the things that the Lord has brought to our attention over these last few weeks is miracle.
Yes.
Miracles.
Yes.
And I know on Wednesday that when the doctors are going to do that MRI,
yes,
they're going to do whatever they can to say, hey, wait a minute, something's not right. And when they make that proclamation, we made a proclamation. Megan has. Megan has,
yes,
made her proclamation.
She has.
She's made them known to anyone that wanted to know them.
Yes.
Is that Jesus still performs miracles.
Amen.
He still heals people today.
Amen. Amen.
The one thing that we have that keeps us going is our
Amen.
Faith.
Amen. Amen.
And our trust in,
yes,
Jesus Christ.
Yes, yes. Amen. And Megan, we stand with you as a ministry, as your friends around the country, people who listen to this broadcast. We are asking you, listeners, to really be praying this Wednesday. And we are excited about the good report that we will
get.
You know, when Jesus said to be salt and when he said to be light, he meant to let your light, it says in Matthew 5, let your light so shine before men that they'll see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. It's situations like this, Megan, in our lives that cause us to draw closer to God and cause us to have a platform to talk to people about God's miraculous healing power and the way he has sustained you and kept you from a lot of worry, fear, and anxiety. Talk to me about that, Megan, because that's what the light of Jesus in us does.
Amen. Well, I heard a song recently by Ray Bolt. God won't bring you any further than your knees. He won't let you fall any further than your knees.
Yes, we were going to have that on today. Maybe we'll have it on next week. So
no, that's okay.
Great song.
But people can look it up because, you know, in a situation such as this, is I could have chose to bow down and become a victim.
Right.
But I'm not, because there is a greater power over my life that I give my full surrender, my full body, my full heart, my full spirit to. And my faith is stronger than it's ever been before, because that's the only place that I can put my trust right now is
Amen.
In God.
Amen.
Because this miracle in this child is not something that any human can do.
Right.
God can perform miracles even in Jessica and Justin's child right now.
Right.
He can refill her womb with amniotic fluid.
Right.
And
yes.
I proclaim that right now in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And I know they are scared and they are hurting. And I have been there and I've had my moments, because that scoundrel of Satan has tried to get his way back into my mind. And I'll tell you what, when I finally chose to get down on my hands and knees, I've done it several times, but when I finally said, God, you have got to take this worry and fear and anxiety out of my mind,
ooh,
you know
amen.
What he told me? He told me, he said, then stop researching CDH, which is the congenital diaphragmatic hernia. Stop getting on the internet. Stop looking it up. Stop filling your mind with doubt and all these medical statistics, because the medical diagnosis is wrong. And I am proclaiming that,
praise
and I'm
God.
Proclaiming that over Jessica and Justin's child right now.
Amen.
The medical diagnosis that they're trying to give that little baby, they are wrong, because they don't know the miracle worker of in God and what he can do.
Amen.
To our physical bodies.
Amen. We agree with you. Last Sunday, we played a song by Ray Bolt, Here Comes a Miracle.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, I was thinking about you, Megan, and baby Grayson through that song here in the studio. And I was thinking, thank you, God, for this miracle, for this baby. And, you know, people, that's where it has to be with us. We got to be out there on a limb of where we may be a little different than some people when we're salt and when we're light, because that means that we do make bold statements sometimes. And it's not that we don't believe in medical knowledge or medical opinions or medical surgeries or anything like that. We definitely do. It's not that. We don't say, and we don't ever preach, don't go to the doctor or don't take your blood pressure medicine. We're not coming from that. We just know that it takes an impossibility to have a miracle. And Megan and Ben are believing God, and Betty and all of us around you, we are believing God, Megan, for this miracle. And some of our listening audience out there right now, maybe their situation is not just like this, but they need a miracle. Declare, proclaim, Megan, tell them something right now. Tell them something.
Well, it all comes back to words, that words can give life or words can give death.
Yes, it does.
And if you want a miracle, you've got to stop speaking words of death
Amen.
In your life.
Yes.
You've got to stop the negativity in its tracks, whether
yes.
it's coming out of your own mouth or whether it's coming out of people around you.
Right.
And you've got to get down on your hands and knees, and you've got to beg for the grace and mercy of God.
Amen.
And declare and get you a piece of paper and proclaim today, right now. Don't wait till tomorrow. Make proclamations over your own life and
right.
give them to God. And start speaking them on your life.
Woo! Amen.
And speak them into existence and speak life into your own life or into other people's around you that you know that they're struggling. Do it for them and show them what can be done by the grace of God.
Amen. Didn't Jesus say in John 14, if you ask anything according to my will, it shall be done? Anything? Okay?
Amen.
And I love 1 John 5, 14 and 15. This is the confidence that we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Is it his will to heal? Absolutely. All through the word. I can prove that to you if we had a show on healing. In fact, in our archives on our website, we have several shows on healing. Go and listen to it if you need those, because they're very well done as far as all the scriptures, because Jesus did heal everyone. He didn't say, oh, well, wait a minute, that one's too tough for me. I'm sorry, you've had that for a real long time. Oh, no, we can't pray over you for that because that's just too tough. No, there's nothing. It says Jesus healed them all, whether mental, emotional, or physical. It says in the Message Bible in Matthew 4, and at the end of chapter 4, Jesus healed them one and all. Okay? So, Megan, it's okay for you to say boldly, I believe that Jesus is the healer for my unborn son. Talk to me, Betty. Talk to me. Woo!
Well, one of the things that I've noticed about Megan in the last few months is that she has become very bold.
Uh-huh.
That she speaks the truth.
Yes.
And she speaks exactly what the Lord has instructed her to say to these naysayers.
God. Yes.
And that's what the people need to remember, that if people come at you with words of destruction, words that will bring you down, words can bring us up, words can tear us down. When they come at you like that, that's where I've noticed that Megan and everyone else can do this too, is that you put back on them a blessing. The more that you talk about this is what's happening. This is what I hear you, but this is what's happening in my life. This happened to us just this last weekend at a restaurant. If someone said, well, I heard about your bad news, immediately a smile and the words that were going to tear her down, she had words of encouragement. And you know what it did to those people? It encouraged them.
That's salt. That's being salt.
Yes. And it's just like, putting it, you know, not throwing it back in their face, but you have to remember those people, when they heard what she had to say, she was not like, yes, I understand. This is what's happened to me. She said, no, this is what's going to happen on Wednesday, January 7th, January 8th. My son is healed. He is miraculously healed. And you know what those people said? They smiled and almost had tears in their eyes, and they go, that's what we like to hear.
Praise God. People want to hear that. People don't want to hear, oh, it's so terrible. No, they want to hear that boldness, don't they, Betty?
Yes, yes. Because what that does is that it turns the attacks of what the enemy wanted to turn into an attack, wanted to tear her down, because where you said in the scripture, anything, and I'm capitalizing that in bold print, anything we ask in his name. And that's exactly what Megan did. Anything that comes at her, she turns it around and puts it into a more solid foundation, firm action of saying, this is what's going to happen in the name of Jesus.
And so
it changes things immediately. I mean, it's miraculous.
It changes the person that was trying to be sympathetic, but really was a naysayer. It turns them up, and they don't expect a reaction. Oh, yes, yes, that did happen. However, I serve a miracle working God. And he's working in my situation. Wow. Don't go away, you two. Here we go, station ID.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
All right. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. And if you just joined us, I'm Pastor Marcia with my guests, which are part of our radio team on a regular basis, Betty and her daughter, Megan, and from my church up in Indiana. And girls, I didn't tell you this, but this is real significant. On January the 5th of 1985, which was 29 years ago today, we had the first service as Cornerstone Ministries in Newcastle, Indiana. Mm. 29 years ago today.
Wow.
And there was a song we sang that morning that we sing a lot at Beacon now. He gives strength to me as I worship him. Do you remember that one, Betty?
Yes.
And my mouth is filled with praise. Jesus breaks the bands as I lift my hands, bringing glorious victory. So whatever you're going through out there in Radio Land, it is amazing what happens as we begin to praise God. Jesus breaks the bands of the naysayers, of the negativity around you, of the bad report. As we praise him, as we praise God, as we worship, as we lift our hands in praise, we sang that song 29 years ago today at Cornerstone. That was meeting. We were meeting in a senior rec room, senior citizen place in Newcastle that morning. And 29 years later, here we are still ministering the word of the Lord. And I thank God for you, Betty and Megan, who were a part of my church. Megan, you were just a little kid like my kids were back then, weren't you?
Yes.
Look how you grew up. Look how you grew up. And my kids were about your age, and it's just amazing how what the years have brought and how here we are 29 years later and still ministering and believing God for miracles. Mm. If you just joined us, we're in Matthew chapter 5. Get your Bible and join us. We're excited about what God is doing. We have a prayer line that is worldwide now, and the address, email address is prayers at BOHM, that stands for Beacon of Hope Ministries, BOHMglobal.com, because it is global. So feel free, give that address out to people, use it. And Betty, what a blessing to have this prayer line, isn't it?
Oh, yes. You know, you think that the littlest thing up to the biggest thing is, you know, God hears our prayers. And it's just like, I've used it, Megan has used it, and I'm sure that, you know, anyone that has a need, all they have to do is just type a short message. Doesn't have to be anything extravagant. It doesn't, you know, they don't have to have detail after detail, because God knows your situation. But just having people in agreement with you for the things that maybe the trials or something is just bothering you that you need additional prayer support on, send a message to them to prayers at BOHMglobal.com. And, you know, with this in a matter of a few minutes, maybe an hour at the most, that prayer request goes out to all of the people on the prayer team. And, you know, God answers prayer.
And you can be on the prayer team, too, by writing a note.
Definitely, yes, yes. In fact, you can just send her the same thing. Prayer, say, I want to be a part of God's praying team.
Yes.
I want to be a prayer warrior. And they will put you on the prayer list. And in just a matter of a few minutes, I mean, they come in, you know, all hours of the day, all hours of the night.
Thanks.
There's always a prayer attached to them.
Yes.
That if you just can't think of, how would I pray? Is that Carol and PJ, Pastor Jim, always attach a small prayer at the bottom. That helps us to even, again, that prayer of agreement together. We've seen a lot of praise reports come out of this prayer team.
Ooh, absolutely. And if you're in the Tampa Bay area and would like to visit with us, we have new facilities now. We are so excited about them that we moved into on Labor Day. And we are on US 19 at the corner, basically, of Drew and 19. Go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. For exact directions to our place. It's a little complicated, but once you learn it, you'll have it. Address 21933 U.S. Highway 19 North in Clearwater at the corner of Drew and 19. And Betty and Megan, we're excited because you're going to come down soon, we hope and pray, and you'll be able to be a part of services right here with us as you visit soon, we hope.
Oh, we're coming. I said as soon as the testing's done and got to get our horses taken care of with their hooves. We're coming down. We're driving. We're bringing Andrew.
Fantastic.
We're coming down, and we're going to be praising God the 1,150 miles that it takes from Indiana down to Tampa. We're going to have the windows down. We're going to be proclaiming all over
Clearwater, Tampa area.
Woo!
That, you know, our God reigns.
Amen. Amen. Woo! So let's start this second hour with this song by B.B. Winans, also Bob Carlisle and Clay Cross. Its song is I Will Follow Christ. That is our determination for this new year.
The 12 of you walked on the earth together. The Father was a brother to you all. The teaching that you heard was the living word. The wonders and the miracles you saw. There were times of awesome inspiration. There were times you didn't understand. When he had to go and you felt alone, it must have been so hard to see his plan. Think about the way you carried on in the face of persecution. You stood strong.
So I will follow Christ. I will run the race, fighting the good fight, standing on my feet.
Voice is speaking in my heart today. His word is like a flame, consuming all my shame. His life a shining star to show the way.
Yeah,
I will follow Christ, and I will run the
God. Woo, we played that about a year ago, I think, on the air. That's a great song. Betty, talk to me. What a declaration as we start a new year. I will follow Christ. Talk to me about that. Woo.
Well, I don't know anyone else who I would rather follow.
Amen.
Because my Lord has the eternal wisdom.
Yes.
He's the prince of preachers. And I want no more than to follow him the rest of the days of my life.
Amen. Amen.
He gives us such a clear-cut path in this world that brings us so much confusion and so much turmoil, that he's our resting place. He's our hiding place.
Yeah.
And that's where I want to be, especially in the next few months, is, you know, he's carried us. He carries us when we don't even know he's carrying us.
Right.
And What greater joy than to be a child of God at this time?
And don't you think it's interesting that these disciples, Simon, Peter, Andrew, James, and John that we just read about in Matthew 4 didn't hesitate at all to follow him. They didn't say, let's talk about this. What do you have to offer? You know, what is this about? I mean, Megan talked to me about this. We get so hung up on, quote unquote, selling out to God, you know, surrendering and really letting him have a say-so in our lives. We get so hung up about it, like, oh, well, nobody's going to tell me what to do. You know, that kind of stuff that we hear out there in the world, you know?
Right.
You know?
Right. I know exactly what you mean. But, you know, you have two options in life. You can either go down your own path, which is what the disciples could have done, or you can follow the path of Jesus and you follow the path of God.
Right.
And I'll tell you what. It's a lot prettier and a lot better and a much more wonderful to be on the path of following God than it is to be on your own path. And, you know, he's going to use some way and somehow some type of situation to call you back to his path.
Uh-huh.
Because he doesn't want you over here in left field. He wants you in center field with him, with
yeah.
the God of the angel armies.
Right.
Fighting for you every day of your life, fighting
right.
for peace, because that's what you're entitled to as a child of God.
Woo.
It's that simple.
And that's why he says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, here's another way to put it. Jesus said, you're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. And now that I put you on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. And there's more there we'll get to in a minute. God has caused us to be light. Jesus said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. He's the light of the world. He lives on the inside of us. Therefore, he calls us to be light and let that light so shine before everybody around us that they see God. And that's what it's all about. Betty, talk to me about this, because we've got to be light bearers. We cannot be under a bushel or a bucket any longer. You know, this little light of mine.
I'm going to let it shine.
Right.
Well, you know, the Lord wants us to go out into the world and tell people what God has done for us.
Amen.
And who better to do that is to you know, with our words, but, you know, also, Pastor, our words, but also with our actions.
Our actions, yes.
And one of the things that I've noticed that Megan has done over the last few weeks, especially during the holidays, because I'm sure it is the way all over the whole United States, is the economy is so bad.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're not, she gave two people that I know of that were waiting on us at a table. You can tell we eat out a lot, that she left them just a card that had, come to this particular place because I give this to you because I care.
Right.
And the people will come out. I mean, these people, I mean, they smiled as soon as they were at your table, but when they left, you could tell something wasn't right. And this young man, I mean, I think it was raining. We went out to the car. He came outside the restaurant and he said, may I hug you?
Oh, wow.
He said, you blessed me.
Woo!
That's being a light in a dark world.
Amen.
It's showing people you didn't have to really, you know, be nice to people. Don't criticize people. Don't make them feel any worse than they already are, because you don't know what they're going through. You don't
exactly.
know what they've been through. So if we're going to be a light into the world, we're going to have to step outside of our comfort zone. We're going to have to want to make a change in our own life. And when we make that change in our own life, Pastor and Megan, how much more can we bless people? How much more can we tell them about Jesus and what he's done for us? Look what Megan's going to, Megan and Ben and Andrew Kramer is going to be able to tell to, you want a light. I mean, they're going to be a beacon.
Yes.
Just like you
yes.
guys are a beacon
yes.
of hope.
Yes.
And it is. You can be a beacon of hope in someone's life just by telling them, what did you know what Jesus did for me today?
Amen. Amen. Woo! You know, that is just so right on. And we got to come out of our comfort zone. Something happened today at the nursing home. We go to Palm Garden in Clearwater the first Sunday of every month, and we have a service, and all these people are in this room, and it's just amazing what God does. And today was just totally amazing. And we sing old songs, old Sunday school songs, things that people know. And today Nan was speaking and whatever. And we were singing How Great Thou Art. And you could hear it all over, they said, all over the entire nursing home. And these little people, a lot of them cannot even carry on a conversation, but they remember the words to these songs. And today, as we were finishing with a song, We Love You With the Love of the Lord, one of our ladies, Mary, got in front of this lady. Her name was Mary. And she said, "Do you guys think we're old or something?" And Mary said, "No." And she goes, "Well, it's just too short. You need to have more time here with us. It's just too short." And it cracked me up because the lady who said that has her right mind and she's 105.
Wow. Praise God.
And I say all that to say that Nan and Mary started rescuing Afghans, not dogs, but
blankets.
And they started going to Goodwill and places and buying them, laundering them, airing them out, you know, thoroughly. And we were able today to present to that nursing home some rescued Afghans. Now, isn't that being a light in a practical way?
Oh, most definitely. In fact, the church that we're attending up here, we did that for children.
Yes.
Is they collected gently used toys and stuffed animals.
Yes.
And we were able to give hats, and the Lord blessed, I mean, just blessed abundantly. We're able to give children of less fortunate homes, we're able to have little hats for their heads, little
Ooh.
Mittens for their hands, and
Praise
little scarves
God.
for around their neck.
Yes.
So that is being a light. And you
Amen.
Know what? God just, he just smiles so big when we start to bless, you know, when we start blessing people, when we step out of that comfort zone, when we get rid of the spirit of fear.
Uh-huh.
Fear of saying,
wait a minute, that deserves my bell.
For me. I can't do that.
Yes.
Try it.
Yes.
Try it and
Try
see
it.
What happens. Bring a smile to someone's face, and you watch how much more blessed that you are and how much more that your Savior sees exactly what you're doing. And he's going to say, because, Megan, you blessed this person, I'm
right.
going to bless you this way.
Amen.
And that's we have got to as Christians and all, you know, I don't care where you go to church. Is we've got to start reaching out for people because that's what the Lord did.
Amen.
He
Amen.
Reached out to people, and that's what we have to do, Pastor.
I totally agree. And if it's Afghans, if it's little hats, if it's food, you help with a food pantry. My
right.
youngest son in the church they go to up in Gainesville, he and his wife, Candy, he told me the other day on the phone, he said he's got a burden. He's going to start working in their food pantry. And I thought, yes, okay. This is what we're talking about. Megan, talk to me about being the light and the salt. Would you talk to me about that? Because I
Sure.
believe this is the message of the hour for this new year.
Amen. Well, you know, it's actions speak louder than words.
Right.
So even in your actions, you can be the salt and the light
Yes.
to someone.
Yes.
And it's just like with you at the grocery store. You know, you could have told that lady, well, yeah, you know, I really would appreciate it if you would just quit complaining about the coupons and just let me get through this checkout line. But you didn't.
Well, that thought crossed my mind. No. I'm teasing. No.
But you Mm-mm. chose to be patient.
Right.
And that's the way that God is with us. Is he is so completely patient with us because, I'll tell you what, us humans, I know this about myself. Wow, I can be the most impatient person. I mean, even recently, it's like, wow, this is a lesson for me because I had to wait for this test to come back on Grayson. And God told me like 3 or 4 days before that I found this information out that, well, Megan, the test probably isn't being performed because there's nothing wrong. If that's not being performed, there's nothing wrong. And 3 or 4 days later, I heard that the test wasn't completed because the insurance company didn't cover it. So it's like, you know, when you become a person, that you let your actions speak louder than your words, that you turn into and let God mold your heart to be compassionate and caring towards individuals that you probably would rather turn and run from.
Right.
Maybe it's someone that looks homeless, but God lays on your heart that you need to walk over and hand them, you know, a pair of gloves or a hat or your own hat off of your own head. Do it. And when you bless someone, even in a very minute way, that is written down in heaven, and God remembers what you do. He knows your heart. So if you have a bitter heart or if you have an angry heart, for the first time in your life, this is a new year, break the chains that are binding you and let God come in and mold your heart to be and have the heart of Jesus.
Amen.
So that you go out and be the light and the salt of the world.
And there are times that God does ask you to take to take a $10 bill out of your pocket. When I was up there in Indiana and sitting in a restaurant, a cold, chilly restaurant one night up there when I was just there in November, God told me to take my brand new Old Navy sweatshirt that I really liked off and give it to somebody right there.
Wow.
And I did it, and I'm not saying that for any kind of praise or anything like that, but I have forgotten all about it. But it just absolutely, that's what this is all about, guys. God may ask you to inconvenience yourself for a moment in order to be that salt and that light that somebody needs in their life. Betty, talk to me about this, because it's not above God or it's not beyond God to ask us to do kind of radical things sometimes, don't you think?
Oh, no, he will be an extension of God's hand.
Amen.
And it's just like we were at Kroger, and there was a lady, you could tell, she was, you know, she used everything she had to buy groceries, and her little girl wanted a box of cereal. And she said, well, we have to put it back because we don't have the funds enough to take care of it. And even before I could react, because God's telling me, okay, you've got $3.29 in your wallet, because I usually use a debit card to buy groceries or write a check. He goes, you've got $3.29 in your wallet. Give it to her. Let that little girl have that cereal. Well, before I could even open my mouth, because I was prompted to do it, because I'm not real good about talking to strangers. That's just me, but I'm working on that. The cashier said, it's taken care of.
Whoa.
And so it's like, oh, and that little girl, I mean, if you could have seen the smile on everyone's face. Now, this one little minute thing changed the attitude of people all around. I mean, even within the next three lines down, they were smiling. They actually maybe smiled for the first time that day because they had run into so many difficult situations, like long lines at Walmart or long lines at Kroger. Just like it was during the storm, you know, when they pronounced the storm was coming, people just went in and just cleared out the shelves up here. But everyone was in such a turmoil and in such a hassle that, you know, that one thing just made everyone smile.
You know, this is practical Christian living, girls. This is what it is. Okay. People need to see Jesus in our lives in a practical way, not just hear it from the pulpit. You know, they need to see us showing Jesus on an everyday basis. Megan, don't you think that's it? That's what is needed?
Well, sure it is, because, I mean, when you go out in public, I mean, everywhere you go, everyone is afraid of each other.
Right.
And
yeah,
it really breaks my heart, because we're so afraid that somebody's going to hurt us, or that, you know, that we're going to be robbed. And it just goes to show you the amount of evil that is penetrating this earth. And if one Christian out there once a day could do something out of the kindness of their heart, it would be a domino effect everywhere, that the compassion of Jesus still exists. It's not gone. We're all supposed to be family, you know, in the kingdom of God, and we need to we need to step out of our comfort zone. We need to step out of the boat for once and listen when that Holy Spirit comes upon you and you hear that little whisper in your head. Do it. Don't ignore it. I myself am begging you, stop ignoring the Holy Spirit, Christians, because it's our duty to be the salt and the light. It's right there in Matthew chapter 5.
Amen.
And that's our job. We need to step up to the plate and accept our orders.
Exactly. Therefore, even though this was not the song set we were going to do today, I supplemented and threw in a song, one of my old favorites by the group Avalon, and it is People Need the Lord, and boy, doesn't that fit here perfectly.
Amen.
Every day they pass me by, I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go.
Praise God. People need the Lord. That's what we're talking about today on Living the Good Life. We need to be the salt and the light that God has called us to be. We need to follow the instructions of Jesus to us in Matthew 5. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. God gets the glory. We don't take glory for giving a sweatshirt away or giving a big tip or whatever God leads us to do. It's not that. It is following the leading of the Holy Spirit. That's what we're talking about, right, Betty? That's it. It's not about, oh, look what I did. We're not coming from there.
Oh, no, not at all. You do things because you have a spirit of compassion.
Right.
And that is exactly what Jesus did.
Yes.
You know, all throughout the Bible, is his compassion drove him to want to heal the sick, heal the blind, heal
yes.
the paraplegics,
yes.
heal this, heal do this, he
Amen.
Did this, he did this. And he did it without even thinking. You know, it just, the Holy Spirit came upon him, and that's what happens to us, is that
Amen.
When the Holy Spirit directs us, we do miraculous things to help glorify his kingdom.
Amen. Amen. It's not about a prideful thing. It's really just the opposite. It's being humble before God and saying, Lord, I'll be that salt and I'll be that light today. Wherever you take me, I'll do what you ask me to do. It's not about me, God. It's about you. And I want to let you, your light, so shine through me that people see you. Megan, talk to me.
Well, you know, Pastor, I don't mean to skip forward, but
skip forward.
The past several weeks, I've been in the book of Matthew, and in chapter 6, it talks about be especially careful when you're trying to be good so that you don't make a performance out of it all.
What verse are you in?
It's the verse number 1. It's right in the beginning.
Ah, Matthew 6:1. This is good. This is right on. Go ahead.
It said it might be good theater, but the God who made you won't be applauding. And it goes on to say that, you know, you might be doing a good thing, but don't be looking for applause.
Right.
Because when you help mm-hmm. someone out, don't think about how it looks. Just do it.
Right.
And that's exactly right. It's right there in the Bible. We're to be of a humble heart and a giving heart. And we shouldn't be thinking about, well, what are they going to think if I give this guy, like, you know, an extra big tip? Wonder what these people over here will think if this guy does this or does that. No, it's not about that. It's about obeying what God wants you to do. And it's not about being in the light of other people. It's about being the light for God toward other people. That's why we don't need to be getting confused.
I love this. You're right.
We're not on a stage, Pastor.
Exactly. Yes.
God is the stage. God is the light that shines through us onto other people. And that's what we need to realize. That we need to get rid of our big-headedness and our pridefulness.
Woo.
And come back down to the realization that we need to sacrifice and be obedient to God so that he can live through us, so that we can save all of the poor and brokenhearted out on the street.
Oh, my girl, you just preach it, young lady.
Oh.
Let's look at Matthew 6, 2-4. Betty, do you have the Message Bible in front of you?
Yes, ma'am.
Read that paragraph that Megan was just talking about, the second paragraph. When you do something for someone else.
When you do something for someone else, don't call attention to yourself. You've seen them in action, I'm sure, like this, play actors, I call them. Treating prayer meeting and street corner alike as a stage, acting compassionate as long as someone is watching, playing to the crowds. They get applause, true, but that's not all they get.
That's all they get.
When you help someone out, don't think about how it looks.
Yeah.
And I like it. Just do it. Quietly and obstructively. That is the way your God, who conceived you in love, working behind the scenes, helped you out.
Oh, isn't that good? Megan, thank you for bringing those verses front and center, because Jesus addressed this. Don't be a fake. Don't be a person to one person's face and be kind, and then behind their back, you know, sell them down the river, you know? Or don't give a good, kind gesture to somebody, but do it in front of a crowd so that you're noticed. That's what God is saying here, Megan, right?
That's right. That's exactly right. Because it's not for our own benefit. It should not be for our own glory. It's for the glory of God. So all the little things you do, whether you're going and you see someone that needs a hug and you reach out and give them a hug, that's not for your glorification. You're doing it for the glory of God. You're doing it because you're compassionate towards people. It's not because of what you're looking to get out of it.
Amen. Right? In these chapters of Matthew right now, and I hadn't announced this earlier, but the topic is really 4 G's for kingdom living. And we'll talk more about that next week. But one of those G words that you're going to see here in Matthew is be genuine. Genuine. Okay. Don't have pretense. Don't have an ulterior motive or another agenda. Betty, it drives me crazy when people have an agenda to their kindness.
You know, that sparks a boldness in me, because you can see someone who is walking in victory, and then you see someone who wants to see that victory to see you stumble.
Right.
And in another pretense is you're happy, you're go-lucky, and you say something that is just profound. And then someone looks at you and goes, what?
Uh-huh.
And where can we find and be obedient enough to do exactly what Megan was saying? It takes obedience. It takes takes us to submit to God and His Word, because His Word lives in us, is that we have to be just exactly who God created us to be, not who Jane wants us to be, our beautician, or who the person who takes care of our dogs. We're not going to be like they want us to be. God wants us to be who He created us to be ourselves.
Genuine. Okay. Talk to us about this, Megan, because I think this is so important. People through the years have said Christians are hypocritical. And unfortunately, that's probably pretty true, because we're all human. And hypocritical means we say one thing and act, you know, do something different, you know, but then we can't live it in our own life. And I think the message that Jesus is trying to get through in the book of Matthew is being genuine, being truly kind, and definitely being salt and light, not just when it's convenient. Talk to me, Megan.
Right. Well, you know, if you know what it's like to be genuine, then you can see right through someone who's faking it.
And yeah.
Because that's the Holy Spirit,
right,
letting you see their true self. But it's like, you know, if you can't be truly genuine, then stop in your tracks.
Right.
Because someone is going to see that there's a hidden agenda behind your behind what you're doing.
Right.
And what I mean by that is, don't lift someone up in front of their face and then turn around and go behind their back and totally beat them down, because God sees what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that goes on within churches today.
Oh, yeah.
Is that, you know, we go into church and we're so genuine, but then when we turn and leave, we become our worldly self. We
right.
start letting words of negativity come out of our mouth. And it's like, you know, be the Christian that you're supposed to be. And I'm going to tell you, this year, God's going to do something to get your attention.
Amen.
Because I can speak for myself. Yes, I'm a Christian. And yes, I was walking with God before this storm. But now that I'm in this storm, I am learning something about myself through this that I never knew before, is that through the storm, I could have chose to be the person that has the pity party, or I could choose to be the person that glorifies God through the whole entire thing.
Mm.
Because
yes.
when you're in a storm, stay in the boat with God.
Right.
Don't jump out in the water by yourself.
Right.
Because you're not going to get anywhere. You're going to drown. And that I'm just saying, the Lord wants people to know that He is looking for people. He's looking for people with good hearts, and He wants to fix people's hearts, but He needs those people, those genuine people, to go out into the world and spread the light and the salt among the people that are brokenhearted.
Oh, absolutely, because they're everywhere. You know, we're going to play a song by Casting Crowns in just a minute, Jesus, Friend of Sinners. Betty, one of your favorite songs, isn't it?
Yes, you know, it was several months ago that I haven't shared this with anybody. Might as well share it now. Maybe
why don't you share it worldwide? Let's do that.
Worldwide.
I love it.
You know what the Lord told me at times in my life? I've been counterfeit.
I think everybody has, Betty. We all have. We haven't meant to be necessarily, but
we are. And I really didn't understand what he meant. It's like, what do you mean, I'm fake? And he says, no, but you're double-minded.
Mm-hmm.
You say one thing and do another. It's like, you know, I can tell you, you know, Marcia, you know, you need to quit eating McDonald's and cookies. And then I turn around, get in my car, go to McDonald's and buy McDonald's and cookies.
Right. You're talking about the chocolate chip ones, not the McDonald's anymore, right?
Chocolate chip cookies.
Did you know
that
the chocolate chip McDonald's now come, I just found this out from somebody at church last week, in a 13-pack tote?
Oh,
isn't that good news? Praise
God.
Sorry,
me or that.
It's good news. But go ahead. I'm sorry, Betty. I didn't mean to get you off track there.
Yeah. But it all boils down to is that, here I go, sincerity.
Yeah.
Honesty.
Yeah.
He doesn't want us to walk the fence.
Right.
He wants us to be on one side or the other.
Amen.
He wants our yeses to be yeses and our noes to be noes. And if someone, especially in these days, is that, you know, there's prophets, there's people that will bring forth prophecy, and if it glorifies you, praise God. But the thing that we have to remember is that God is true to His word.
Right.
He will never leave us nor forsake us.
Amen.
And He knows if what you're doing is genuine.
Right. Exactly.
And don't be double-minded. Don't do it. Stop. Stop
Amen.
What you're doing right now. Get on your knees and ask for forgiveness because
Amen.
He's only a prayer away.
Amen. James says, be not double-minded. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So Jesus is the friend of all of us, the sinner.
Yes,
the parts of the times in our lives where we are hypocritical, where we are double-minded, where we're doubting and we're full of fear. You know, God understands that, and He accepts us where we are, but He wants us to come to Him and say, I'm sorry, you know, I want to
Amen.
Be genuine in every area of my life. I want to be salt, and I want to be that light that You have for me to be. This song we're going to do, I just love it, Casting Crowns, Jesus, Friend of Sinners.
Jesus, friend of sinners, we have strayed so far away. We cut down people in Your name, but the sword was never ours to swing. Jesus, friend of sinners, the truth's become so hard to see. The world is on their way to You, but they're tripping over me. Always looking around but never looking up. I'm so double-minded. A plank-eyed saint with dirty hands and a heart divided. Oh, Jesus, friend of sinners. Open our eyes to the world at the end of our pointing fingers. Let our hearts by mercy,
Help us reach with open hearts and open doors. Oh, Jesus, friend of sinners, break our hearts for what breaks yours.
Sinners, the one who's writing in the sand, made the righteous turn away and the stones fall from their hands. Help us to remember we are all the least of these. Let the memory of your mercy bring your people to their knees.
Nobody knows what we're for, only what we're against. When we judge the wounded, what if we put down our signs, crossed over the lines in love like you did? Oh, Jesus, friend of sinners, open our eyes to the world at the end of our pointing fingers. Let our hearts be led by mercy. Help us reach with open hearts and open doors. Oh, Jesus, friend of sinners, break our hearts for what breaks yours. You love every lost cause. You reach for the outcast, for the leper and the lame. There's a reason that you came. You are good. You are good. And your love endures forever.
Song. For you are good, mighty God, and you love us so much, and you accept us where we are, and you say, hey, let's work on this. Let's get this part cleaned up in our lives. I love the fact that the Holy Spirit is Mr. Clean all the time working to cause us to become more like Jesus. That's what it's all about. Talk to me, Betty. Don't you love that song?
Oh, yes. And you know, once you get a lot of the junk out of your life, like I was talking previously about before the song, is that you can I can actually now listen to that song and think, okay, that used to be me, but he's brought me out of that.
Praise God.
That, you know, I did some stumbling, yes, I did, you know, I did fall, I fall all the time, but you know what, it's not, our success is not measured by our victories here on earth, but God knows our successes, and
right.
He will put those successes and those victories in front of us.
Well, yeah.
And it, I would rather achieve my victories through Him than any other way.
Oh, amen. That's what it's all about. Talk to me, Megan.
Well, you know, talking about people that are double-minded, my Bible app today brought up Isaiah 29. It was verses 13 through 14. It says, the Master said, these people make a big show of saying the right thing, but their hearts aren't in it, because they act like they're worshiping me, but they don't. But they don't mean it. I'm going to step in and shock them awake, astonish them, stand them on their ears. The wise ones who had it all figured out will be exposed to schools. The smart people who thought they knew everything will turn out to know nothing. So, this year. That's just a small word that God is.
That's
going
profound.
God's going to show you.
He's shaking things up, isn't he, there,
yeah,
girl?
He's gonna shake his people.
Woo! And yeah.
Because this is a year. I'm just telling you, I can feel it in my spirit. It's a year of. There's gonna be a lot of miracles happening in this world.
Yeah.
And grab onto your socks and shoes, people, and hold on and get into a church because it's coming. And
amen.
He's letting us know that no longer are our double minds going to get us where we need to go. He's going to show us that the only way is through him.
Amen. And dependence on him and
amen.
Really, really leaning on him. You know, leaning, that old song, leaning on the everlasting arms, you know, leaning on Jesus, leaning into him. You know, that's where the message of this new year. We can't be salt and light without his guidance and him putting people in our paths to be that salt and light, too. Betty, talk to me about this.
Well, I think that we have to be totally dependent on.
That's it. That's it right there. That D word, dependence.
Dependent because. If you know our way is not always usually not the right way.
Right.
And I had a vision while that song was playing for someone out there who's been walking down a gravel road for a long time. That gravel road seems to be getting a little bit bumpier. That may not be good grammar, but the road's getting bumpier. It's getting a lot harder to walk on that pathway that you're going.
Okay.
Jesus has shown me in the last few minutes a path that is much easier to take. It's much more smooth. There's more brilliant color in that path that he has for you, that he knows that he's given you dreams that you never thought could ever come to pass, but they will if you'll get back off of that rocky, bumpy road that you're on. And choose the path that he has for you. May not seem right. It may seem a little bit uneasy for you at first. But once you get your footing, and once you stand on the solid rock, which is Jesus Christ, your path is going to get a lot easier.
Whoa. That is right on. And that goes along with something God gave me this morning as we were praying in the office before our service. That he's leading people now into green pastures and beside still waters.
Amen.
So that goes right along with that. And it's time to get off of that bumpy, gravelly road. You know, after a while, your feet toughen up and you just don't feel the pain of walking on gravel like you used to. I remember that as a kid going barefoot years ago. You
when
know, you
pastor,
just, you're,
you know what? It also
toughens up.
It gets us tough, but it also makes us have an attitude of I don't care.
Good.
That it makes us not to want to open our eyes to what God has for us. It makes our ears not able to hear what the Holy Spirit wants to tell us. So once we get off of that gravel, because that gravel makes noise when you walk on
it. It does. And when you drive on it, yeah.
Oh, you drive on it, and it gets stuck in your feet, and it makes your feet sore. It can flatten you and flatten your tires. And once you get off of that path, it's like getting a new set of Michelin tires put on your car that your ride's a lot smoother. You don't have the worries and the fear of where you were. Because God doesn't remember that. He doesn't remember that anymore. He doesn't remember the past. All he wants to see is you succeed successfully through the power of his Holy Spirit.
Praise God.
It's amazing what God can do if we let him.
Beautiful. Rhema word from the Lord through you, Betty. Wow. Megan, give me a final comment here. We're coming up on the hour.
Well, I have another scripture. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through probably maybe 6, says, trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track.
Praise
God. Don't assume that you know it all. Run to God. Run from evil. And I'm going to tell you what, if you're in a storm or you are stuck in one, stay in the boat and let God guide you out, because he never said that we weren't to be victorious, because through a storm, there's a testimony.
Right.
And pick up your anchors of your past and cast them aside into the sea and let them sink, because no longer, do not allow Satan to control you any longer. Decide that you've had enough in this new year, that you're going to seek out God from the bottom of your heart. And I just pray that you fall to your knees in total submission to him, and that you give up your double-minded ways, and that you finally learn to rely on God, and you seek him out, and that you start listening to his voice.
Woo! Oh my, this has been very powerful. 2 hours. I can't believe 2 hours is just about up. And thank you, Betty. Thank you, Megan, my dear friends up in Indiana. And Megan, we are standing with you and your husband, Ben, this week, Wednesday, through the tests. And we thank God for the miracle. And praise God. Dear ones out there, we found out last week, Maxine counted up, we got 274 shows on our website. This will be number 275 tomorrow. Been on the air. We're in our seventh year. So there's plenty of shows to go listen to that are provided to you free of charge on beaconofhopeministries.com website. And you can tell others about them and learn the word of God through these shows and hear some great music. Betty and Megan, it's always a joy to have you on. I'm so glad you're part of the radio team. And we look forward to your visit to Florida here soon. And for those out there in Radio Land that are in our Tampa Bay area or coming on vacation, come and visit with us at 21933 U.S. Highway 19 North, basically at the corner of Drew and 19 in Clearwater. We welcome you Sunday morning, 10:30. And Wednesday night, Bible study at 7. And bring your Bible, and you can even bring your dinner from work. And we have tables set up, and it's a good way to learn the Word of God. Wednesday nights at 7. We encourage you to go to our website, find out everything about us. And I'm getting the hiccups here, so I'm about ready to sign out here. And be sure and become, if you want to, a financial partner with us on our website. Go to PayPal and give your donation. God bless you. Have a great week. Use our prayer line, prayers@bohmglobal.com. This has been Pastor Marcia McAllister, my good, wonderful radio team friends, Betty and Megan from Indiana, saying God bless you this week. If you want to talk to us, you can write me personally. It'll come straight to my desk, pastor@bohmglobal.com. So we hope to hear from you soon, and we hope to see you in a service. Listen to our broadcasts on www.beaconofhopeministries.com. Have a great week. See you next week live at this time, 3 o'clock.
Yes, there's no need for you to fear. You can trust him with your heart. It's not far. 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 From here to Jesus. It's not far.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.